2020 has been a strange year so far. As a church, we lost a number of people to the coronavirus early on in the year. And also, more recently, we lost a pastor friend who was known to us as a church. And also, as a family, my wife lost her brother, Anil, a few weeks ago. And now death has struck us again, because this week I lost my niece, Pushpa, who sadly died at the age of 46. And this is extremely sad for my sister and my brother-in-law and the family, because 26 years ago, my sister lost her 23-year-old son. And so this is the second child they will be burying. And that, for any parent, is one of the most painful experiences you could go through in life. Because, as I normally say, it's not natural or the right order for a parent to be burying their child. Children should bury their parents. But this has brought home the fact that death is not just for the elderly, but it can come to any one of us. But when we hear of death, especially of a younger person, what is God saying to us? What thoughts should occupy our minds? How should it make us feel? Death is a wake-up call, a reminder that all of us, because we are sinners, will one day die. We will face death. And after death, the Bible says, we will face God's judgment. Therefore, it is absolutely essential, it is imperative, that we prepare ourselves to meet our Maker by making our peace with Almighty God. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you prepared to meet with God? Do you know your destiny after death? Do you ever think that one day I will not talk about somebody else's death, that I will actually experience it for myself, I will have to go through it, that I will not be a spectator at someone's funeral? No, one day it'll be my funeral, and it'll be my coffin that people will carry. That time and that date is hidden from us. But the emphasis of the Bible and the teaching of the Bible is that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we should prepare ourselves to meet our Maker, because we don't know whether tomorrow will come. We can't be certain of life. We can go outside, cross the road, and bang, a car hits us and kills us, and we die, whether we are young or old. Death may surprise us, as it did with our niece. Now, this is one of the elements emphasized in this particular passage that we read. It's saying, don't just prepare for now, don't just prepare for this life. But what is more important and what is essential is that we prepare now, today, for the life to come. So let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through to 21. Have your Bibles open so you could follow through as we go through it. And there are three things that I want to draw to your attention. Firstly, beware of covetousness or greed of any type. Secondly, beware of man's plans. And thirdly, beware of God's plans. So firstly, beware of covetousness. Now, in this particular incident, Jesus is preaching, but then he's interrupted in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. It says this, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" This man who came and interrupted Jesus totally ignored what Jesus was saying, totally ignored his teaching. He was thinking only of one thing, his inheritance. We don't know the exact details of the problem, but he obviously felt cheated by his brother over the family estate. Maybe they were close brothers, but now money and wealth and property had come between them and caused the dispute in their relationship. Sadly, you see this all the time. You can have siblings who may be close to each other, but when the parents die without leaving a will, the children then begin to fight over the property, over their parents' money and wealth. And they end up not even speaking to each other, or they end up sadly taking each other to court. By the way, parents, let me give you some sound advice. Please make a will. Make a will so that when you go, it is absolutely clear to your children, to the family, who gets what share of the inheritance. And you need to be absolutely fair to all your children, both to the boys and to the girls, so that your children do not end up hating each other, fighting with each other, falling out with each other for the rest of their lives. So this brother comes to Jesus with this request to sort out this dispute in dividing the family inheritance. Jesus says to him in verse 14, it says, "But he said to him," that's Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you?" According to the law of Moses, in the books of Deuteronomy and Numbers, rabbis in Jesus' days, in Jesus' day, did settle these matters. But Jesus here refuses, probably because he did not want to interfere in people's affairs and wanted people to go to the appointed authorities. But also, Jesus here wanted to address a deeper and a more important issue. That is, this brother who came to him, his own greed and that of others who were listening. So Jesus says in verse 15, and he said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Here, Jesus is saying that it's important that we realize that we do not live for possessions. That word covetousness here in the original Greek language means having a thirsting for more and more and more, and never being content or satisfied. There was a man who was capsized at sea, so his boat turned upside down, and he floated on a raft. He was terribly thirsty, and he took his finger and put some water, seawater on it, and put it on the tip of his tongue. Now, this is salty water, seawater. And then that made him thirst for more. So he began to drink some water. And as he drank, it gave him a desire to drink more. It made him thirsty. So he drank more and more and more. And when you drink salt water, sea water like this, it makes you dehydrate and it'll eventually kill you. That's the type of image that is being portrayed here when Jesus talks about coveting. He talks about greed. He's saying you thirst for money and riches and wealth. And as you thirst and as you acquire more, you want more. It makes you thirst for more and more. And you are never satisfied. You are never content. And it takes over your life. And spiritually, it kills you because it pushes God out of your life and it causes emptiness and despair and misery. And people will lie, they will cheat, they will forfeit relationships over possessions. This is what it does when you covet. Someone told me this week that a shopkeeper continued to open their shop over the lockdown period when it should have been closed. But also at the same time, they claimed money from the government. And now they are thousands and thousands of pounds better off. And the shopkeeper said, you know, the coronavirus for me has been like winning the lottery. That is greed. That is coveting. That is cheating. It is doing anything to satisfy that thirst for possessions. But that thirst could never, ever be satisfied. So you want more and more and more. Jesus said to this brother, life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. So beware. Beware of greed. It'll leave you empty and lost and unsatisfied and craving for more and more and more. So that's the first point. Beware of coveting. Secondly, beware of man's plans. Now, to illustrate what Jesus was saying when he was talking about coveting, Jesus tells a parable. In verse 16, it says this, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. In other words, he is saying a rich farmer had a successful bumper crop in one particular year. Now, there is nothing wrong in having a bumper crop. There is nothing wrong in being successful. In fact, there's nothing wrong in being rich in and of itself. After all, in the context here, God gave the sunshine, God gave the rain to make the crops grow. Also, he was not rich, this particular farmer was not rich through unjust or illegal means, by lying or cheating. He had acquired his wealth through hard work. So this is not a problem, being rich if our riches are through just and legal means. It's not a problem. So what was the issue with this man? What was the problem? Verses 17 through to 19 reveal the problem. Let's read them. And he thought, so this man in the parable who had this bumper crop, Jesus is talking about him. He says this, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what the man said to himself. Now, what is the problem here? The problem is that this farmer was thinking only of himself and preparing solely for this life on earth and nothing else. He had no thoughts of life after death. He simply made his plans for his future on this earth. There's no sense of God. There's no thankfulness to God anywhere in his thoughts. He's incredibly selfish. He's incredibly greedy. If you read verse 17 through to 19 again carefully, you'll discover the word I occurs 8 times. And the word my occurs 4 times. Just let's read it again, just part of it. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And it goes on and on. Here the language is I. Me, my plans. It's all about him. It's all about his plans. He leaves God out of his plans. I can manage my life. I'll be my own boss. This is what I will do. Nelson Mandela was in prison in South Africa for 27 years. When he was freed, we know that eventually he became the president of South Africa. He said when he was in prison, there was a poem that helped him. And the name of that poem is Invictus, which means unconquered in Latin. The last two lines of that poem are famous and well known. They say, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. In other words, I am in charge of my life. Therefore, I am invictus. I cannot be conquered. Is this true? Is this true? That we are the masters of our fate and the captain of our souls? No, we are not. Just in a moment, we can be just driving down the road in our cars, and we're following the speed signs, and suddenly a maniac comes out of the blue, hits us, and we are gone just like that. Are we in control? The coronavirus can strike us and ruin all our plans and even take our lives. This farmer thought he was the master of his soul, but his possessions, his crops, in reality were controlling him and possessed him and ruled him. He made his plans to pull down his barns and make bigger barns to store his crops. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, in expanding things and planning for the future. And he thought in verse 19, he said, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." He thought, "I'll take life easy for the rest of my life." But, this man had no thought of the life to come. This was his problem. No thought of death, which could occur at any time. No thought of God. No thought of the fact that it was God in reality who was in control and could take his life. And then what will his possessions be worth then? There was no thought of his need to be right with God so that he could meet with his Maker and be at peace with his Maker. No thought of escaping God's judgment after death. George Truett was a well-known pastor in the early part of the last century in America. One day he was invited for dinner at the house of a very wealthy man in Texas. After the meal, the man took the pastor outside, and the man said to him, 25 years ago, I had absolutely nothing. Now, as far as you can see, everything is mine. The oil fields are mine. The forest is mine. The grain fields are mine. And then he pointed to the north and he said, everything you could see is mine. Then he pointed to the east. Everything you can see in that direction is mine. Then he pointed to the south and said, everything in that direction is mine. Then he pointed to the west and said, everything is mine. George Truett, the pastor, put one hand on his man's shoulder, and then with the other hand he pointed heavenward. And he said to this rich man, "How much do you have in that direction?" The rich man hung his head in shame. What about you? What about your plans? What plans have you made? Are you planning to go to university? Are you planning to be an accountant? Have you planned your future, your job, your profession? I want to be a doctor. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a police officer. I want to work in some sports facility or some other profession. You've made your plans. Are you planning to buy a new car? Are you planning to buy a new house? Are you planning to get married? It's amazing how much time and energy we spend on planning for our marriages. Just for one day. The amount of money that people put into it. Are you planning to have children? Maybe you're expecting a child. And we can spend hours and hours and hours and hours in planning for the baby to come, buying things. Are you planning for your retirement? Are you paying into a pension scheme so that you'll have a nice pension when you retire? Look, there's nothing wrong in these things, in planning these things. But these are just our plans. And that's the problem. God is kept out. There is absolutely no plan, no preparation, no allowance for him that has been taken into account here. Just like the farmer, he does not think of the life to come. And maybe this is the situation with you. This has not crossed your mind. And yet this is strange. This is the only thing in life you can be absolutely sure about. You cannot be sure of your plans. There's no way of knowing whether you'll become that person or that you enter into that profession that you're planning. You don't know. You may not make it. You cannot be sure of whether you'll get married. The Lord may cut your life short. We cannot be sure of our plans. But what we can be sure of, and we can be certain of, is the fact that one day we will die. And it's strange that we plan for everything else and are prepared to put so much time and energy into it. But we do not plan for death, the most important thing in life. So beware of man's plans without God in your life. So we've seen, firstly, that we are to beware of coveting. Secondly, we are to be aware of man's plans without God. And thirdly, we are to beware of God's plans. So this farmer made all his plans and thought he would put his feet up, relax, take life easy. But whilst he is making his plans on earth, God is making his plans in heaven, in verse 20. And see here how the language changes in the text. In the previous verses that we read, verse 17 through to 19, it's all about the farmer. It's all about I, mine. It's all about him. But in verse 20, the language changes. It says, but God. It changes from the farmer's plans to God's plans. And verse 20 says this, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? God says to this man, you fool. You're a fool. The man thought he had plenty of years. He thought he could relax and take life easy. He thought he was invictus. He was unconquerable. He thought he was in control and the master of his fate. He thought his possessions will secure his life for the rest of his days and years. But in that very moment, on that very night, when this man was making his plans, God steps in. And God says, you fool. You've put your trust in your possessions to give you happiness and security, but you don't know, as Jesus says in verse 15, life does not consist in the abundance of the things a person possesses. True life is not living for now, but true life is living now for the life to come. Because when we die, what will our possessions be worth? Jesus said, you can gain the whole world, but what's it worth if you lose your soul in hell? What were these crops worth to this man once he was dead? What were these barns worth to him? What is your bank account worth? What is your gold worth? What is your jewelry worth? What will your clothes be worth? And all your possessions that we hoard and stock up and do nothing with. What are these things worth? If God in heaven makes his plans and requires our soul tonight. And don't say, nah, man, as people talk, young kids, it won't happen to me. Look, you are not the judge of your life. You are not in control of your death. It's totally, totally in the hands of Almighty God. He can take your life at any time, at any age, anywhere, even in the most unexpected moments. Jesus finishes the parable by saying in verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. When he says, so is he, what Jesus is saying is, so is he a fool. If you live your life for now, for greed, for coveting, and you live to thirst for more and more and more, and you are never satisfied, he's saying you will not be rich towards God. If that describes you, then you are a fool, Jesus says. There was a family which had a bird table with feeding stations on it. So they would put peanuts and various seeds into the feeding stations, and lots of birds would come and feed on the food. They would refill the feeders every day. But then they noticed that no birds were coming to the bird table anymore and to the feeders, and they were confused. What's happened? After observation and investigation, they realized what the problem was. There was one large dominant bird who was feeding on the feeders, on the seeds, on the food, and that bird perched itself on a nearby tree. And it would attack any bird that approached the feeders, and then it would guard the feeders, the food, so the other birds stop coming out of fear. This bird spent all day sitting, watching the feeders so that no other bird would come. It felt that it owned the feeders. It's all for me. But sadly, because it had to protect the food, it lost its freedom and its joy of flying and exploring. Although this bird was not caged, it's almost as if it was caged and imprisoned because it had to guard the food. Jesus says, you're a fool if you live life for possessions and material things and you covet them, because these things will control your life. They will imprison you. They will cage you in. They'll captivate your life. They will dominate your life. Dominate your thoughts. You'll have to watch and guard and protect your wealth by all means, even through corrupt means. And you'll hold on to that tightly and refuse to let go. You're a fool, Jesus says. Because in reality, these things are possessing and taking hold of you and destroying your life and ruining your life. God says, you're a fool because you cannot take these things into eternity. You're a fool because you have not prepared to meet your Maker. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to acknowledge that you've been a fool. that you've neglected God and the need to be right with him. And you need to realize that you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you need Christ. And you need his mercy. And you need to realize that he died for your sin. And you need to come before him and plead for forgiveness and repent. And you're an even bigger fool if you call yourself a Christian, but you are not really saved. If you say, I was born a Christian, you know, this is Satan's biggest lie. Nominal Christianity. This is what really, really saddens me. That there are thousands and thousands of people who call themselves Christians. But when you look at their lives, they are no better, if not worse, than people in the world. You need to genuinely repent before God. Seek his mercy. Realize that you are lost. And Christ, out of love, died for sinners like you to save you. If not, you are the biggest fool. Because you have heard of Christ, you know the truth of the gospel, but you still have not genuinely believed. God, through the coronavirus, through all the deaths, over 41,000 people have died in this country. Over 800,000 people have died throughout the world. Soon it'll be 1 million. And God, through the deaths we've experienced here in our own church and people in your own churches and maybe deaths in your families, what is God saying? God is shouting at us. He's shouting at us and saying, if you are not a Christian, he's saying, you're a fool. You need to listen. Listen to me. I sent my son into the world to die on behalf of sinners. I sacrificed my son for you. So why? Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you doing something about it? Why are you avoiding the subject? Why are you hiding from me? Why are you delaying in coming to me? You need to prepare yourself to meet your Maker. We are such big, big fools. If we know that there is a bridge ahead of us, and we know that it's too low for our van that we are driving to fit through, we fools, aren't we, if we carry on going towards the bridge because we know we will crash into it and possibly die. Isn't that foolish? This is exactly what we are doing if we do not turn to Christ. And if we do not prepare ourselves to meet our Maker and make our peace with God. Because we know death is coming. The bridge is there. And we're doing nothing. We are going straight into the bridge and we're going to crash. And we'll go straight into God's judgment and to hell. So let me plead with you this morning. Let me urge you, don't be a fool. Don't delay. Stop fighting with your conscience. Put your pride to one side. Put your nominality to one side. Get down on your knees. Turn to Christ. Become serious about the things of God. Make your peace with God. Then you will be wise. Because if you truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ, then you could know that you are going to heaven. My niece, when she went into hospital, her health wasn't too good, but we were not expecting her to die. But she was not feeling too good, and she told her sister, "If I don't make it, divide my possessions amongst yourselves." She's gone. But all her possessions are left behind. She couldn't take them with her. This is why Jesus is saying to us, beware of coveting. Secondly, beware of your plans in this life, if you make those plans just for this life and have no thought of God. And finally, beware of God's plans. Don't be a fool, because he can take your life at any time. Whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are sick, whether you are healthy, whether you are weak, whether you are strong, you need to prepare to meet with your Maker. And you need to prepare today. Amen.